the subject of the dynamics of biblical faith. However, I've been asked to share a message on Sunday morning, and unless God would drastically change my direction between now and then, I'll probably give one more message on biblical faith on Sunday morning. So you'll have to remember that if you're going to leave tomorrow and take your set home, just remember to call back and get the last one. It's been a real privilege for me to share with you to watch God work in your hearts and your lives. And I think it's one of the most exciting things in the ministry for me to be able to preach and teach young people, because they're so open and they're so hungry and they're so wanting to do what is right, and it's a thrill to do that. And I thank you for listening all this week. And the title of the message this afternoon is called The Outworking of Faith. The Outworking of Faith. I stayed away this morning on purpose because I didn't want to hear what Brother Ken said or what Brother Moe said, because I didn't want it to affect what I say. And so it may be that I may say some things that they said to you already today. And if that is the case, just count it that God wanted you to hear it more than once. I just felt led of God to keep myself away on purpose. I would like us to start this afternoon by reading in Philippians chapter 2. If you want to turn there with me in your Bible, Philippians chapter 2. Now this is a beautiful portion of Scripture, and we're going to read from verse 12 and 13. But I want you to note the verses that precede verse 12 and 13. These are the verses where Paul tells the Philippian church, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Have the same kind of mind that Christ Jesus had. And then he gives what the theologians call the theology of kenosis, or Christ's self-emptying. And you can see in that portion of Scriptures that Christ took seven steps down. And of course, the last step downward was becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So Christ's self-emptying, Christ's seven steps downward, are to be our example. And Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who emptied himself." And then, of course, we also find there in that portion of Scriptures what Paul says was the result of that: "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." And we know that's the exaltation of Christ, which God the Father gave to him because of the self-emptying of Christ. And that's not our sermon today, but that's a worthy one. But I want to start in verse 12 and 13. I wanted to say all that because Paul said, "Wherefore." And whenever there's a "wherefore" in the Bible, or a "therefore" in the Bible, it's referring to the verses before it. So Paul says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, as ye have always obeyed, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. The outworking of faith, young people. The outworking of faith. Let's bow our heads for prayer. O Lord, our Lord, we come to this session now, Father. We thank You for the beautiful example of our Lord Jesus Christ, who did empty Himself out for us. How we worship You this day, dear God, for the self-emptying of Christ, for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Lord, that death has brought us to this place. We are here, and we thank You and we praise You. Now, God, I pray, in this message on biblical faith, this practical message, Father, I pray that You will help us. I pray that You will fill us, all of us, with the Holy Spirit. Yes, God, we want to be being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Young people and preacher alike, we yield our hearts to Thee, O God, as vessels, and pray that You would work in our hearts and our lives through this message. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Faith, true faith, biblical faith, personal faith, must work. It must work. Maybe another way to paraphrase what Paul was saying to the church at Philippi would be this. In light of all the lessons that we've had about what faith is and the reality of faith in the life of the believer, Paul could have just as easily said to them, work out your own faith, or let your faith work itself out in your own life. Why, Paul? Because God is inside of you. God is inside of you. It is God that worketh in you. And what is He working? He is creating the desire and giving you the power to do His will, to do what pleases Him. And Paul says to the Philippian church, let that which God is working in you work out in your life, and do it with fear and trembling. Why? Why fear? Why tremble? Why not, young people? God is inside of you. God is inside of you. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Let's turn to James chapter 2. After our study this week on biblical faith, I think we can clearly understand and see what James is saying about faith and works. I thought to myself, how beautiful to read this portion of Scripture in the book of James after we have gotten a good grasp of the reality of the inner workings of God and man in this whole matter of a life of faith. We can see so clearly that yes, it's true, that true faith works itself out. And if nothing is being worked out, there is no true faith. Even though the individual may say, I have faith, it's not true faith. Let us read from verse 14 through 22. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not worked? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, What does it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone, or it is no faith. Faith, if it has not works, is no faith. That's what James is saying. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works, James says. Quite a profound statement, isn't it? To say to anyone, show me your faith without any works. But James says, but I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Oh, thou doest well. But the devils also believe and tremble. That's no big deal. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his work, and by work was faith made perfect, was brought to maturity? Brought to maturity? There again is that interaction we were speaking about. We get along with God. God witnesses in our hearts. We respond to what we hear from the voice of God with obedience and belief and a confidence in God that brings action, that brings more faith into our hearts, which makes us respond to God again. And God witnesses in the heart again. And we respond to what we hear God say again. And this, if it continues steadfastly in our life, it brings our faith to maturity. Young people, it brings our faith to maturity. And maybe someday God will use you to shake a whole congregation of people while you quote them the Bible. Maybe God will use you like that someday. But faith is brought to maturity as we work out our faith in everyday life. Don't forget that, young people. Don't forget it. Don't swallow the lie of the evangelical church today that your faith isn't going to affect anything in your life. That is no faith, James says. That is no faith. If a man or a woman is truly leaning with their whole heart upon God and His Word, it will produce a practical life. Dear young people, you have been brought face to face. As you sit here today, you have been brought face to face with an awesome adventure of a lifetime. If you will take it up. You have been brought face to face with challenges and fulfillment like you never dreamed. Young people like adventure. I know it's so. Imagine with me, young men. What if I told you, young men, we need 4 young men to drive a Land Rover from Germany across the Strait of Gibraltar down the coast of Western Africa through the Sahara Desert along the coast through Senegal through Liberia through Ivory Coast, and into Ghana. We need 4 young men to do this. It will take 1 month. How many would like to do it? I was right! I got you. There's nothing wrong with that. God made us men that way. But young men, think of the potential. See, that's in the natural. But think of the potential in the spiritual. For ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that God is dwelling inside of you, think of the potential, young people. Now what was it that stirred all those young men? They didn't even need to pray about that. What was it? It was the challenge. I guarantee you, I know what it was. It was the challenge of it. It was the adventure of it. It was the unknown of it. It was the things that they may face on the way in that trip. That's what it was. Oh, young people, that is what the Christian life is. That's what it is. But nobody knows it except those who will begin to live by faith. Nobody else knows it. I mean, they're sitting around on the front bench of the pews, twiddling their thumbs, waiting for the Lord to come back or waiting to go to heaven, and they have no idea of the joys, of the challenges, of the adventures, of the fulfillment, of the stimulation that comes into the heart and the life of an individual, girl or boy, who says, I am going to live by faith from this day forward. The outworking of faith. All these energies can be turned toward the Lord and His Word and His work, young people. And the possibilities of a life of faith are endless. They are endless. And oh, listen, if I could just out of this whole set, if I could just get five of you young ladies and five of you young men out of all of you who would rise up to the fervor of what we've been saying all week long and 10 years later find yourself walking that beautiful road, I would be satisfied. Just five young ladies and five young men, but look at how many are here. I would be satisfied. The possibilities of a life of faith are endless. Jesus said, He that believeth on me, Jesus said. And remember what that word believeth means. He that believeth and believeth and believeth and believeth on me shall not walk in darkness, Jesus said. Shall not die, Jesus said. Shall have everlasting life, Jesus said. Shall never thirst again, Jesus said. Shall receive the Spirit in their life. And out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And shall do the work that I do also. He that believeth on me shall do the work that I do also. The possibilities of faith are endless, young people. And girls, forgive me a little bit if I lean a bit over here today. Is that okay? See, I know if I get this side, I got this side. Amen? Let us consider just a few verses in the Bible. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. I'm just going to give you a few verses here to whet your appetite, and I'm going to leave a challenge with you when you get home, and I would encourage you to do it sooner rather than later. But I don't know if you understand the implications and the results of taking a whole week and studying one word. But they're powerful. You see, this word faith, as I've told you, it's in the New Testament 270 times. That means there's 270 verses in the New Testament with this word in it. And the word believe is in the New Testament 150 times. And you have a whole new understanding of those words. Now I want to challenge you. You go home with your Bible and you get your concordance out and you do it sooner rather than later. Do it while it's fresh in your heart and in your mind. And you go down through all those verses and see if those verses don't have new meaning to you that they never had before. I guarantee you they will. And if you're wise, you'll go home and do that. You know what it'll do? It'll just broaden your understanding more and more. But look at this one. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 through 23. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he, Christ, reconciled. You have been reconciled by Christ, he says in that verse, in the body of his flesh, through death. Why? To present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. What a beautiful way to stand before a holy, awesome God. Holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. Wouldn't that be a wonderful way to stand before God? Let's keep reading. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. See that? See that verse? What God is saying there to us? Now that you have learned what faith is, now that you're standing in that place of faith, just keep right on walking all the rest of your day. Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him. See that little phrase? In him. And established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. See, all these verses on faith, they mean something more now, don't they? God wants to establish you in the faith so that days and days and days can go by and you've just been walking with a clear heart before the Lord. That's God's will. And when you get to that place, you will be established in the faith. Established. One more. These are just to whet your appetite and I hope to inspire you to go home and do it. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. Hebrews 3, verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Young people, we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. You see, verses like this, you know what they mean to us? You know what they mean to me? I'm responsible to walk with God tomorrow. I can't just go live my own life tomorrow. I can't come around on Monday morning and say, okay, Bible school's over, back to the same old way I used to live. I can't do that. These verses have responsibility in them. I must walk in the light of what God has done in my heart in Bible school. And so must you. We must all walk in the light of what God has done in our heart during Bible school. All of us. Isn't that a blessing? The outworking of faith. So, what does faith look like? If there's an outworking of faith, what does faith look like? Well, reason with me. Since we have learned that faith is the interaction of the living God with a believing, trusting, yielding heart. Since we have learned that faith is the interaction of a living God with a believing, trusting, yielding heart, much of that interaction is with God and His Word. So what does faith look like? Faith looks more and more and more like this. It looks more and more and more like the Bible. That makes sense, doesn't it? If God is going to speak to us, and that will create within our hearts the witness of a living God, if we're going to respond and interact with this God as He speaks to us through His Word, and sometimes not through His Word, then if we're going to interact that way, then we are going to become more and more like this Bible. And that's wonderful. I mean, at least it is to me. Faith looks more and more like the Bible. Faith looks more and more like the image of Jesus Christ. Faith looks more and more like God. God-likeness. By the way, that's what the word godliness means. God-likeness. God-likeness. 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us that we are to add to our faith. Say, okay, I'm in the faith. Glory. I'm standing on the chair. I'm leaning with my whole heart upon God and His Word. I'm in the faith. Okay, add to your faith. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. And if these things be in you and abound, they make you very fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if these things be in you, they make you that ye never fall. Beautiful. What is God saying there? He wants us to go on. He wants us to go on. There's a verse in the book of Daniel, which is one of my favorite verses. And we're not going to turn to it, but I want to give it to you. This verse in the book of Daniel says, "They that know their God shall do exploits." You know that verse? "And they that do know their God shall do exploits." They shall do mighty things for God. How? By faith. By faith.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. If you would like to listen to part two of this message, please press 10 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Effort of Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.